So this is a story that I wrote many years ago, and it's a story about a man who has a story. It's a story about stories, if you will. So once upon a time, there was a man with a story. Now, this wasn't any old once upon a time story. This was one that you could not find on any bookshelf. This was not a story you could hear around a campfire. This was his story and no one else's. The story had been carefully crafted. It began before he was born. It told the story of his loves, his fears, his dreams realized, and his dreams yet to come. The story was complete. It told his whole life, including those bits that still existed in his imagination. In fact, this story was so complete, and he was so happy with his story that he carried it around with him to make sure that it was safe. It was kind of bulky and unwieldy, but he didn't mind. It was his story. Now, the thing about this story was it was fragile, made up of many pieces and held together only by his imagination. He was worried that it could break apart at any minute. And so he grew more and more protective of his story. He held it even closer. As he went about his life, he checked constantly with his story to make sure that he was following it correctly. He avoided adventure and unknowns because, well, they might break the story. And then one day, the inevitable happened. Without warning, his story broke. It was unforeseen. He hadn't done anything wrong at all, but there it was, lying in 1,000 shattered pieces on the ground, with the sunlight glinting off those bits of the story that he had carefully protected all of those years. He was heartbroken. And since his story had not said to put the pieces back together, he was at a loss. What now? He sat down next to the pile of pieces and he cried. A while later, maybe it was minutes, maybe it was hours, a group of people came out of a nearby building and they saw him sitting on the sidewalk, surrounded by a pile of broken pieces, clearly in need of help. "What happened here?" someone asked. "My story, it's gone," he said. "I worked so hard to build it, to protect it, to keep it from harm, and now it's just gone, it's gone." "Is this the story here?" another person asked. "Yes, look at it. It's just, there's nothing left." A child spoke up and said, "It looks like it's still here. It's not gone. We just have to put it back together." "Put it back together? There is no way. You don't even know what it looked like. How could you help me put it back together if you don't even know me?" The child was tenacious. "Don't worry. With all of us here to help, we will put it back together in a way that you would never even expect. You never know, it might be even more beautiful than before." And so they swept up the pieces of this man's story carefully, and they went together into the building from which they had emerged. They poured him some coffee, and they sang a song that he had never heard before, something about building a new way, feeling stronger. The song was soothing, the coffee was warm, he began to feel hope again that his story might be able to be put back together. And it did. It took a long time. Maybe it was days, maybe it was years, but they got it all back together and they added new parts, and some parts didn't fit anymore. But that was okay. The child had been right. It was more beautiful than before. And this time, the story was held together not only by his imagination, but by the support of an entire community. And it wasn't nearly so fragile as before. The end. Stories are powerful things. We tell them in our own heads. We tell them while we sleep. We tell them to each other. We tell them about our past, about our ancestors, about our future, about our communities. Jonathan Gottschall, who wrote the book The Storytelling Animal, says that the quality that distinguishes us, humans, most from other animals is not our tool-making or our linguistic ability, but rather it is our ability to create stories. He asserts in his book, through examining research on the subject, that these stories allowed our evolutionary ancestors to do a better job of bonding together to form groups. And groups of humans who worked well together were far more effective in the battle for survival than were individuals or disconnected groups of people. They were better at that saber-toothed tiger. The problem with stories is that they are rarely complete or totally accurate. The storyteller tells the story from their perspective, and then other perspectives are then immediately lost. Once the story gets created, it carries on a life of its own. If that story begins to gather meaning and value in the community, people become less and less likely to challenge it, because challenging the story means challenging the group or challenging our own identity within the group. As an example, when I was 18 or 19 years old, I was in college at Southern Methodist University, which is a Christian university in Dallas, Texas. And there I took my first religion class, a class on the Christian Bible, also known as the New Testament. My amazing, historically grounded professor, Dr. Chansey, was helping us deconstruct the various books of this part of the Bible from a historical perspective, understanding what was happening at the time it was being written, why those books might say different things from the other books, all of that. Many of my classmates, themselves also 18 or 19 years old, had been raised in fundamentalist Christian households. They had been taught that the Bible is the literal word of God. They had been taught that it was inerrant, that it was completely internally compatible with itself. And upon realizing in this class that there were, in fact, inconsistencies in these stories, and that those inconsistencies were related to the human beings who wrote them in the human times that they existed, these classmates of mine had one of two reactions. One was a rejection of what Professor Chansey was teaching, or two, complete loss of faith. It was powerful and heartbreaking for me, someone who was not raised in that kind of religious home, to witness how intricately these people's identities had become with these stories. Any threat to that story was a threat to their faith. I wrote the Wonderbox story that we heard earlier several years ago. I've told it several times in my ministry. I was holding those college classmates of mine in my heart as I wrote that story, because I have compassion for the pain that they felt at losing what they thought was an unbreakable story. Some of us here in this room might have had similar faith experiences in our lives upon coming to unlearn something that had been unimportant and meaningful. Or alternatively, maybe we never quite understood how someone could hold a religious story so tightly and so closely. But religious stories are not the only ones that we hold tightly. Historical and personal stories can also be fragile. This month here at the Fellowship, we're exploring ways to heal our histories as part of our year-long theme on healing and wholeness. November is filled with stories. Columbus Day was just a few weeks ago. Now, thankfully, we call it Indigenous Peoples Day. Election Day. Veterans Day is tomorrow. Thanksgiving at the end of this month. And all of these stories, they aren't complete. The stories that we tell about our nation, the people who discovered it, the equality of everyone's voice, the events that were formative in the creation of our communities, the role of war in our nation's place in the world, these are all the stories that we tell. We tell them over and over, and we allow them to form our identity of ourselves. When I was 5, or so the story goes, my mom brought me to my first day of kindergarten. She, like all good parents, came into the room to help me get settled on my first day of real school, and I was mortified. Mom, go home. I said. My mom insisted on staying and talking to my teacher for a few minutes before leaving, but even though every other parent was there with their child, I was embarrassed that my mom thought I was a baby and stayed there with me for a few minutes. Later that same day, when our half day was over, my mom came to pick me up like all the other parents. Kindergarten at that school started off for a few days as half days. And the bus didn't usually run on those half days, but I insisted on riding the bus. The way this story has gone down in our family is that I got on that bus alone, except for the driver, and my mom followed the bus to our house in her car. But the bus driver didn't know where to drop me off because my mom was behind him. So he sped past our house, and my mom had to chase him down to get me off the bus. I was so tiny, imagine me at 5, that I could barely see out of the window, and I probably didn't even know where I lived to give reliable directions to this man. The moral of this story that has made its way into the legends of Lyon family folklore is that Christina was an independent kid determined to be on her own from the get-go. This story has been told so many times that I think I can remember that bus. I don't think I really remember that bus. I don't even know what our house looked like when I was 5. But I've embedded this story into my memory, into my being. It has become part of the core of who I am. Stories can do that to us. I am an independent person. I'm kind of a control freak. I'm strong-willed and capable, and my family thinks those are positive characteristics. That's the story. I have lived fully into this story as I've grown up. Now, maybe this is just who I am, story or no story, but I think that this story and many others like it have helped shape who I have become. I'm Christina, the tiny control freak, independent leader type. I'm grateful for the stories that got embedded in my soul, but I realize that many of the stories that we heard as children over and over again perhaps didn't have that same positive quality. Stories of shame or loss, neglect or trauma can also shape who we become as people. They too become part of who we are. It takes a lot of work to change a story if the story needs to be changed. But the most important thing about stories is that they can be more flexible than we expect. Stories don't have to shatter into a million pieces at the first sign of pressure. We can incorporate hard stuff into our stories without destroying them. Complexity does not ruin a story. Complexity does not ruin a story. Unitarian Universalism is a faith that honors complexity, that allows us to hold more than one truth at the same time. We can, if we choose, simultaneously honor the bravery of the people who voluntarily serve in our armed forces, while also rejecting the military-industrial complex and the role of war as our nation's go-to mechanism for diplomacy. We can recognize the power of immigration that was and continues to be such a shaping force in our nation's landscape, while also recognizing the horrific impact of colonization. We can tell the truth about Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, honoring, as Elizabeth Call says, that we, quote, celebrate Thanksgiving because gratitude is essential to human life, but that grief is essential for healing our history of violence. She wrote, it's really hard to be thankful and sorrowful at the same time, but this is life. Sometimes joy and sorrow go together. Today, something really joyful happened for my family, and you all were a part of it. Our second son, Ellis, was dedicated into this community and into this faith. Thank you for welcoming him and welcoming Hannah Rose. Ellis, like our first child, Nevin, came into our life through the gift of adoption. We talk openly about adoption in our family because we believe it's not something to be hidden or ashamed of. We also try to be radically honest with our children. We don't want them to ever remember a time that they didn't know that they were adopted or what that meant. This month, November, is National Adoption Awareness Month. And it tends to be a time that adoption stories get shared in a very flowery, rainbowy, all happiness kind of way. And in an effort to share some of my own experiences and understandings of the complexity of adoption, I've been writing a series of posts every day on my personal Facebook page. One of the things that I'm trying to stress in this series is that adoption is complex, both logistically and, more importantly, emotionally. For me, adopting my children was the most beautiful, joyful experience that I could ever be given. But there were birth families, and in Ellis's case, a foster family who experienced profound loss because of our gain. The story that adoptive children hear and absorb is either too pretty, God chose you for us, or it's too negative, I was given up at birth. But both of these stories are far too simplistic to be true or to be healing. So the story we try to tell in our family is that our children were deeply loved and deeply wanted. They were wanted and loved by their birth families. They were wanted and loved by their foster families. They were wanted and loved by us. That the choice their birth parents made for them was out of love. That they wanted them to have a life that was good. We grieve with our children that their birth families weren't able to provide that for them. But we celebrate that our family is made whole because they joined us. Of course, this story will continue to evolve and deepen and grow in complexity as the boys get older and understand and have more thoughts and more questions. But telling them the truth about their adoptions, even the hard parts of the truth, does not negate the love that they are wrapped in. I look to countries like South Africa and Germany who have worked to bring truth to light about horrific times in their histories. The Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, shines a powerful beacon on the vast and gruesome history of racism, lynching, and mass incarceration of Black Americans. These are attempts at truth-seeking, telling the whole story beyond the statistics or the monuments, or at worst, the erasure of whole swaths of human experience. Healing cannot occur if we continue to hide from history in its wholeness. We have to open the story, allow it to bend and break if necessary, to welcome in the parts that have been left out. We cannot grow as people or change patterns or beliefs or habits or learn if we insist on holding tightly to a fragile and incomplete story. May our stories be flexible. May we seek truth in complexity. May healing come through our stories and through their evolutions. May it be so. Amen.